It's going to cut. And if you're cut, you're going to bleed. It's your body's communication to you about that it has been harmed and repair is needed. And if you didn't bleed, you'd be looking at yourself going like, what is going on with my body? Something's kind of not right here. And it's the same thing. If you're not having emotional responses, that's also a signal, like a check engine light, that some you need to look under the hood and figure out what's going on. Because to be unaffected by what we go through is, first of all, an unrealistic expectation as a human being to put on yourself. And second of all, it's also, if you aren't affected by anything, there's an issue.
Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Shulamit. Shulamit, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for the invitation, Michelle.
Awesome. So give us a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
So I'm the entrepreneur's therapist. I support mostly women, business owners, freelancers, self-employed folks, entrepreneurs, to care for their mental and emotional well-being in an era of relentless stressors that make you feel like you're going to lose your crap on the daily.
I love that. And we will get into that deeper in a bit. So what made you get into kind of therapy for entrepreneurs as a thing?
Well, I wanted, when I went into private practice, to have a sustainable business. And in school, you know, you become very good at what it is you train to become. So I was, you know, great clinician, didn't know bleep about business. And so right away, I jumped into business coaching and training and started networking with other entrepreneurs to understand what, you know, what I needed to know about running a business. And in the process of growing my own business, I experienced the stress and the emotional ups and downs. But also I heard from the entrepreneurs I was hanging out with, because I was the only therapist in any of these environments. So it was really, I had a really privileged position. And I heard from them also about the emotional ups and downs and, you know, the stress and how demanding it is and how painful and difficult and lonely they were. And so with my mental health brain and my business brain coming together, I saw the intersection of entrepreneurship and mental health. And that's how the Entrepreneur's Therapist was born.
Nice. I love it. Well, and it's so true that people go into business and they don't realize that they're getting into a silo of society that is not understood by the rest of society. And that they, in some ways, it's kind of clicky. And in some ways, it's just kind of hard to swim to find your peeps. Yeah. And it becomes a thing. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Isolation is a significant factor that affects entrepreneurs' mental health. You might remember U.S. Surgeon General just recently said social isolation is as detrimental to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. We know that isolation is a social determinant of health. And we know that isolation, like most of the clients that I work with, that's the first thing they talk about, is how lonely it is at the top, how difficult it is to find peers, and how alone they feel, right? And it's just, it's the truth of our experience. And we need to find others like ourselves. And that's why things like podcasts like this, you know, we need community.
Nice. I love it. Well, even in Maslow's hierarchy, identify that there are groups that we need to be in, but I don't think people really understood the depth of kind of what it meant to be in a group. It's not just that we need to be in a group. So we need to be in our group.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit more about that and the importance of kind of that connection.
Well, there's such deep, like from a mental health point of view, when we are in an emotionally intense situation, the value of being with a person who can meet us where we are and relate and validate, well, of course, you're feeling that way. Why wouldn't you look what you're trying to do? This, you know, it's hard because it's hard. That kind of meeting has an impact on the nervous system of like, I'm safe and okay here. Somebody gets me here. Whereas like, you know, we're risk takers as entrepreneurs, right? And let's say you go to your beloved, who's a great person and very supportive, but doesn't get business, or to your parents who are great people and very supportive, but don't get business. And you tell them like, oh, I'm so nervous, I'm doing this thing. And they go, risk, don't do that. Right. And then you start to doubt yourself, and it kind of undermines and it amplifies your distress. Whereas if you go to someone who is not risk averse, who's in the same ballpark as you are doing risky stuff, then, and you say to them, oh, I'm nervous, I'm doing this risky thing, they can say, yeah, of course you are. This is totally what should be expected. It's a risky thing. And you've got it what it takes to handle this. And how can I support you? Right? The value of that is enormous.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think it becomes so important that people understand that there are people like you out there that they can reach out to. Because oftentimes I'll also find that even though two people might be in business together, either with their spouse or with a business partner, those two people are very much opposite ends of the spectrum, which often happens in order to be able to balance each other in the business.
Of course, that's what's needed.
But then it becomes a really difficult conversation of, oh, I think we should do this. And it's like, well, I don't know. Have you thought about this, that, and the other thing? And all of a sudden the anchor comes down on that person. Or the other one's flying so high, it's like they've the techie or the one that's trying to analyze and plan is feeling like they're being pulled out of their comfort zone and everything's happening too fast, yeah. Too whatevered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you experienced it when when it comes to kind of couples in business, have you noticed any, let's call it special dynamics that happen there?
Well, first I have to say that I don't work with couples. I never have. And you know, my inclination was just to knock their heads together and be like, do you want to be right? Or do you want a relationship? Right. And you can still be right, but there's a way to do that, that fosters and nourishes the relationship. And what happens is folks will get polarized and start butting heads against one another. This happens in couples. It also happens in partners. And one of the ways around this is to look at the problem rather than being against one another, being together against the problem, right? So that you join hands and walk toward the problem rather than duking it out with each other and having the problem be over there somewhere doing its thing, right? So it's the relationship dynamics between partners in a business, whether they're intimate partners or only business partners, can resemble very much like a couple's, married couple's, committed couple's relationship, right? But because I don't work with partners, I don't work with business partners in couples therapy, and I don't work with couples in couples therapy. So that's really all I can say is that there is a parallel. And it's good. It's really important actually for partnerships that if you're struggling to get support around those communication, because what happens again is that when emotions are hot, you cannot, you drown in your own experience and you don't have the capacity to hear the other, and to have a third party present really helps mediate the emotions, but also facilitates the flow of conversation back and forth. And it's not like you need necessarily therapy if your partners are having conflict, but just a traffic director can make such a difference to how beneficial the conversation can be.
Absolutely. I'm a huge advocate of not using the same therapist in a couple's space like this, because I think it's super important that each side has somebody that they can relate to, somebody just like you that says, you know, hey, I'm on your side. This is what you're going, because I think you need a coach on your side in business at all times. And if you do need a mediator, get a mediator, but really just understanding, I think, that when there's a dynamic there, that it's not, you can't depend on your partner to think like you. That's not their job.
That's
it's
right.
Your job, yes, to think like you. And it's their job to think like them. And if you need somebody in your corner, then, you know, you're the one to have there, is the best way to go about it.
Right. And working your stuff out over there where you can say whatever uninhibited.
Yes.
Again, modulate your emotions, get your CEO self back online. This is your creative capacity, your problem solving capacity, so that you can come fully resourced to the partner conversation. There is, like, it's okay to be activated about things. This is what it is to be human. And you can care for it so that you can come to the conversation with your partner resourced without these expectations that they should be thinking or feeling a certain kind of way.
Nice. I love it. So when somebody's working with you, what does that look like? Well, like, either what are the packages or what are the dynamics? How do they work with you?
Sure. So starting with what it looks like, I offer 30 days of support. And in that 30-day support container, people meet with me twice. Usually it's virtually by phone or video. And then they have implementation support in between sessions. And that 30-day support package, they can roll it over, like they can renew it any number of times that they would like. Some folks do it back to back. Some folks have 30 days here, 30 days there. And what happens in a session, there are usually two aspects. Of course, the emotional support and be like finding a place to put all what's going on with you in a safe container. Because again, if you're in an amygdala hijack, if your emotions are high, your CEO self, your prefrontal cortex, gone out to lunch, gone to Bali, who knows? And you don't have, and I call it the CEO self because these are all our capacities that we need to run our business, right? Mm. So usually, like there's so much activating stuff in the course of running a business. So usually there's the emotional support aspect where you need to be met and understood and heard for the emotional side of things. And then that allows your CEO self to come back online. And the second half or second phase, I accompany you as your thought partner, as you think through whatever it was that got you going and figure out what, if anything, you need to do about it.
Right. Yes. I love that. I don't know who named it your executive functions, but I love that because it's so true. It's like, if you want to run a business, you have to get your executive functions functioning. They're
yes,
not
you do.
Functioning while you're having a hissy fit. So, yeah. And it's, and I totally understand that there are times when you're going to lose it. Absolutely there are. If there aren't, you're not alive and
right.
Aren't
We're
happening.
Human. That's what happens.
And that's probably a problem too, right? Now that I mentioned that.
If you would never, yeah. Well, it's like I say to people, because often clients will come to me blaming themselves for being upset. Hmm. And when they tell me what happened, I'm like, well, no wonder you were upset. That was upsetting. Like, you know. And they think that it's a problem. And I use the analogy of like, if you're in the kitchen cutting vegetables and you cut yourself, you run the knife kind of like quite hard across your skin, it's going to cut. And if you're cut, you're going to bleed. It's your body's communication to you about that it has been harmed and repair is needed. And if you didn't bleed, you'd be looking at yourself going like, what is going on with my body? Something's kind of not right here. And it's the same thing. If you're not having emotional responses, that's also a signal, like a check engine light, that some you need to look under the hood and figure out what's going on. Because to be unaffected by what we go through is, first of all, an unrealistic expectation as a human being to put on yourself. And second of all, it's also, if you aren't affected by anything, there's an issue.
Mm. And often cases that can lead to team issues because you're not getting empathetically involved in enough in what's going on in order to recognize the resolution has to happen and that it has to happen at your level, not necessarily at theirs. Not to say that you have to be the one in the room with them, but no. That sometimes you have to say, hey, we have an issue. Either this is the way we handle it in our company and this is our culture, or hey, you too.
Like, box it out or something. Like on a nervous system level, interpersonally, just like it works on a nervous system level in the organization. So for example, as a therapist, I'm present as a human being first. When people tell me difficult things, unlike a friend, I'm not going to have a reaction to it because that's not my work, right? That's your friend's work to get all like, well, how could they do that to you? And what the heck? And aren't you going to do this and that? That's, you know, you need your bestie for that. But if I had no feelings, if I had no response as a human present with a human who's expressing pain, that has the effect, again, of not meeting them. And when you're not met in your emotions, that shuts down and increases your distress, right? Mm-hmm. So as a human in a container, a therapeutic container with a client, I'm going to be moved by what they say to me because that's what it is to be human. And organizationally, you don't have to be all like wound up and boo-hooing or freaking out or flipping your lid over stuff that's going wrong in your business. But you do need to be affected by it. You do need to be moved because, like, again, to come back to the nervous system, you know, we have this assumption that the stress response is a problem, that stress is a problem. Really, stress is not a problem. The stress response in the body is what mobilizes us to respond to any given situation. Otherwise, we just be marshmallows on the couch. We need to be able to respond. The problem arises when we don't have the rest and digest phase when we are in constant, chronic, intense stress, right? So we want to be moved in the business by what's happening in the business, because that mobilizes the response that's needed to address what's happening.
Love it. So what would you say are some of the common concerns that people have in their businesses when they come to you, other than feeling like they're in a silo and don't have anybody to relate to?
Well, that's the number one is isolation.
Okay.
I've identified in my work 7 factors that impact the mental and emotional well-being of entrepreneurs. And so I'll give you the link where you can put the blog post in the show notes. And of course, now I'm having performance anxiety.
Well, then I'll sit and talk until you calm down and it comes back to you. And you're like, okay. So I'm sure there's one of them is, you know, it could be the team aspects of things, or maybe it's, you know, some other dynamic that's going on in the business that's affecting them.
Sure. Yes, that is a factor. It's not one of the ones that's on my list of 7. Okay. So isolation is the first. Yep. The hustle is the second. We will internalize systems of oppression, capitalism, white supremacy, beliefs about success, beliefs about what it means to be an entrepreneur. And we can find ourselves, when we don't examine how these things impact us, we can reproduce these harmful behaviors in our businesses and in our how we organize and structure our work in our day. And unexamined, of course, this can lead to breakdown, right? This can lead to burnout, depression, anxiety, and at the worst, suicidal thoughts, which is a significant, and suicidal behaviors is a significant risk that, in fact, one of the articles I read recently, it might've been Forbes, talked about suicide as an epidemic among entrepreneurs, because that's the level of stress that people experience, which is like, whoa, right? That's really intense. So the hustle, VUCA, which is an acronym for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. It's a leadership term that was coined in the, and you're smiling like,
I'm going,
what,
yeah,
entrepreneur
pretty much
doesn't
business,
know what
yeah.
That's like, right? And like COVID was a perfect example writ large of what it's like to experience VUCA. But we entrepreneurs have this every day, like on a daily basis. There are barriers to support. So we're not like, entrepreneurial poverty is a thing. We are not all Jeff Bezos or Galen Weston, who's a Canadian billionaire now, I think, where we have scads and scads of money available to us for whatever. Cash flow can be an issue. And so there are 2 aspects of support that you can need. There's, of course, the mental health support, which it's in short supply to begin with, and then high demand, and then somebody who understands entrepreneurship makes it even shorter supply. But the power of support in your business, like your support team, your virtual assistant or your admin person, your all the people on your team, the roles they play when they go well, alleviate a significant amount of the stress that you have to carry. And the less stress you experience, the better your mental and emotional well-being is. But if you haven't got the cash liquid to provide for that support for yourself, right? So there are barriers across the board. Oh, and then finding after-tax cash to pay for a therapist, like, where's that, you know? Not, and then, and also medical expenses too. A lot of us fund those out of pocket because it's complicated. I don't need to go on and on about it. Everybody gets it.
Third-party healthcare, that's all I have to say on that.
Right? Stigma too. And impression management. This kind of ties back to isolation, but there's this sense that if we reveal any vulnerability, that people will doubt our ability as a CEO, and they will doubt the company, and they won't do business with us. And that's very painful and difficult when we have to like front all the time and hold it in. We need safe places, safe others, biz besties, where we can let that out. So that's also a risk. And let me think for a second linking self-worth to success. Holy crap, right? Human tendency, we all do it. Mm-hmm. But with entrepreneurs, especially vision-driven business owners, where we care so deeply, and often when we are vision-driven, it's because we care about the future of the world or other folks. And when we are struggling, when our business is struggling, then also our self-worth struggles because we tell ourselves all kinds of crappy things about ourselves. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're doing. You should have never done this before. You know, you should have never tried to do this. you're unrealistic. You're just a dreamer. Because when it tanks, right, the self-talk gets quite difficult. So it's easier said than done to separate your sense of self-worth or your valuing of yourself from how your business performs. So I don't want to be cavalier about that. A lot of people, they're like, easier said than done. And true, yes. But it's important to name that it's a real significant risk for Absolutely. Your mental and emotional well-being.
Well, and it's very difficult to deal without somebody who's trained like you, because some people will go, oh yeah, at the end of the day, I just vent. I have my wine. I have my screaming fit. I have my kicking the door. I have my whatever your ritual is when you're done the day to get rid of your stress.
Yeah.
But that doesn't address the issue. Because then all you're doing is, yes, you've like a pressure cooker, you've had a chance to vent, but it hasn't dealt with the systemic issue of you're sitting on a hot pot.
Yes, that's right. And I forget if I've mentioned all six, it doesn't matter, because what's really important is that the secret seventh factor is that the other six amplify one another.
Yeah.
We experience them differently. All of these things are experienced by everyday folks, but we experience them in a different way. And we experience them more frequently and with greater intensity than non-business owners do. And they pile on top of each other and amplify one another. And that's often something we miss. You know, people will come to me after having been through thing after thing after thing after thing. And they say, you know, I used to be so strong. I used to have my crap together. I used to be so competent and powerful. And now, like, my VA quit and I can't handle it. Well, it's not that your VA quit, because it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. It's not the straw, even though all we see right here is the straw. It's what's on our back, which is the tons of straws that were there already. And that one becomes the millionth that just sinks the ship.
Absolutely. And so many of those, as you pointed out, which I love, because I have not heard anybody, particularly on this show, but a lot of people that I talk to, haven't heard anybody talking about those hidden stressors of expectations that nobody talks about, but we just assume that that's the way it is, and that's the way people are looking at us, and that's the way we have to do business in order to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's, one, so unhealthy, and two, so unnecessary to put that kind of pressure on ourselves just because we've read it in every magazine that we've ever opened up in our lives. That's not really what's important. That was what was important to the editor of that magazine at that time to write sales. That's not what's important to you to run a business.
Yeah. Well, so many of us come to business for our own reasons, right? So many of us come because we want autonomy, because we want flexibility, because we want to create environments. This is a significant one in the recent past, where folks who experienced intersections of oppression in the workplace, folks who had needs, like they were racialized folks or folks with mobility, any kind of ability challenges, folks with mental health challenges, who went home during the pandemic and discovered that even though it was a pandemic, their mental health improved significantly. And they said to themselves, well, I'm not going to put up with this crap in the workplace, because that's how it affects me. I'm going to start my own business. And so, you know, one of the mentors I worked with right when I first started, she said, we hear a lot about lifestyle businesses, you know, like back with your pina colada on the beach and money rolls in overnight. She said, we are building life first businesses, businesses that support us in our lives and our living. And so many of us come to business for that reason. And how it happens, how we do it, and what we define as success is up to us.
Absolutely it is. And so many times I think people are lured by one aspect of business, but then they get into it and realize, hey, that's not really what I want, or that's not really what I want to create. So can you go into business and create an overnight success? Yes. It only takes 20 years to create an overnight success.
Right.
And but some people, they really don't want to do what it takes to be able to be an overnight success. What they really want is a lifestyle that they couldn't have afforded otherwise. Nobody else is going to give it to them. They have to create it for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The sooner you can figure out what that thing is, regardless of what everybody else is running and doing around you, is awesome. If everybody else is running around in circles, you go, oh, okay, they're running around in circles. I think I'll go run around in circles. And then you go, I think I'm just going to sit here for a bit and see what pops up. And you're probably better off having a seat and just checking it out and seeing what pops up and going after that thing than continuing to run around just because that's what everybody else did.
I'm not dissing hustlers. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that we absorb these beliefs and ideas unquestioningly. And even if you're a hustler, if you examine what that means to you and do your hustling in a way that serves you, then be my guest, you know? But it's really being in choice and reflective so that it's what you want rather than what you have accepted unquestioningly. Because make all the money and do it the way you want to do it. That's an awesome thing.
Absolutely. Nice. So I get to ask you, what would you say is your favorite part of your business?
Like of running my business?
Yeah.
The marketing. Love, love, love. Before I came to this, I was in radio and TV. I love, love, love the communication side, the messaging side, I love writing. I write long form blog posts for SEO. That's mainly how I attract clients is through SEO. And the marketing stuff is just, I just love it.
So I love that too. And we could talk about that all day. And I'm pretty sure we are going to at some point. So give us an example of a Cinderella story of one of your clients.
I would love to do that, but I can't disclose.
Let's call them Ray. Just for a ray of sunshine. Could be a guy, could be a girl, could be anybody. And preferably not one that's industry specific that we all go, oh yeah, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've really caught me unprepared because
That's all good. I totally get what it's like being in therapy because a lot of my clients in particular in the past, we just didn't say it, but that was the circumstances with which they grew and changed and could do the things that they did because of the therapy.
Yeah. In general, I can talk about patterns. What has happened for folks is that they come in without the emotional intelligence that they would want, knowing that they don't want to do the things that they've been doing, knowing that it has an impact on their business, but not having the skills to change their behavior. Right. And so in the course of experiencing it, that how I relate to them in the course of that, it's a kind of a transmission where you get to experience what it is that you want to be able to do for yourself. And then also because of part of the work I do is coaching folks so that they can develop skills for themselves, they become more capable of noticing what's happening before the crap hits the fan, before you hit your lid, flip your lid, and intervening early so that people will say, I lose my crap in meetings. I don't want to stomp around and bang the table and walk out, slam the door. And, then people quit or whatever. I know going into the meeting that this is going to be difficult. So I do some things to prepare myself, but where before I didn't have the awareness that I wanted around what I needed, where I was even, let alone what I needed to do in order to preempt that kind of explosion. That's just one small example of the kind of self-connection, self-awareness, and emotional intelligence that is totally skill-based. But in the world of every day, it's very hard to develop these kind of things. But by experiencing it in session and then getting the coaching so that you can develop the skills for yourself, you can bring it then back into your world. And it benefits people not only in their business lives, but also in their personal lives, right? With friends and family, because the enormous stress that we experience in business, if we've got one nerve left and somebody steps on it, that's the right kaboom. And so again, understanding, I need, for example, a ritual between work and home so that my brain and my body gets that I'm shifting gears so that I really can, instead of just saying, I'm going to leave it at work, that I really can. In fact, there are a couple of clients I'm thinking of who had difficulty making the transition from home to work to home. And there are things that you can do to support that transition, because the especially under stress, right? The brain gets confused about time and place. It doesn't know, oh, this is home and not work. And so it needs support to make the shift. And so folks would come home and not blow up anymore. They would come home and, you know, have the, you know, be warm and happy to see the folk, you know, the kids running, instead of being like, oh, why do you guys have to make so much noise? Right? Those are just a couple of examples I can come up with on the fly.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure our listeners can relate to all of the stumbling blocks that you've presented today, because it is very normal to go through those things. And quite frankly, I don't think you're really an entrepreneur or pushing your edge if you haven't experienced those things. True. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How would they start that journey with you?
Sure. What I would love is to welcome them into my community if they would sign up for my newsletter at shula.ca/newsletter. Also, I'm on LinkedIn. You look for me by my name, or on Instagram as the Entrepreneur's Therapist. And I love to be in the DMs with folks. That's the, for me, that's the draw of social media, is the social side. So I just love having conversations with folks that way.
Nice. I love it. So peeps, we will have all of Shula's links in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down, click on them. Of course, open up in a new browser because we're not 10 yet. Awesome. So Shula, at what point in life did you know that you were the special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Well, like right from the start, really right from the start. My mother's father came to Canada when he was 13 years old. He had experienced polio. So he was, in the day, what they called it was crippled, but he needed mobility devices to help him walk. And people used to say to him, like, they, you know, in that era, it was like 19, I forget, 20 something, 13 something. And people would say, well, like, how does a crippled man have a business? And he goes, well, I didn't put out the newspaper with my legs. And my, that's like a famous family story about my mother's dad, my grandfather. And he, you know, he founded a newspaper and he ran that business. And because of the way things go, you know, my, just, this is just sexism in the time. My mother's brother didn't want the business and my mother was a woman. So when my grandfather was done, he sold it, when really my mother wished that she could have had it. And I wish to this day, I mean, the media environment has changed,
yeah, fair enough.
But even so, I wish that I would be the third generation to be doing whatever was doing with that company now. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had been the one to carry it forward into this world. So, you know, I've always wanted to be in business for myself. And I started in 1990 was my first side hustle.
What'd you do? What'd you do?
I was a media analyst. So I was working to, and this is before the days of Google, where I was to survey the media environment for certain keywords or certain companies, read the material and summarize it and submit a report to whoever it was looking for the information so that they could babysit what was going on about. So I was like the, what's it called? Analog form of Google Alerts.
Holy.
Yeah.
That is quite the side hustle, especially for your first one. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Love it. You have been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps today?
Yes. How are we for time?
Good. You've got all the time you want.
Okay. There are two things. There are two things that I want to say. So I'll start with the one that is timely and relevant. What I'm hearing from a lot of folks right now is just how bad they feel, how depleted, how exhausted, how difficult the economic environment is, how things are just, nobody's behaving the way that they were predicted to behave. And so all bets are off and it's very difficult. And people are saying, what's the matter with me? Am I burnt out? Like they're really looking for individual causes, let's say. But I invite a reflection around what we have just been through. 2.5 years or 3 years or so of a global pandemic, whether you believed it was happening or not, because it's important to know that if you believed it wasn't happening, your fears around like how terrifying it was to be in a world where you think you're the one who knows what's happening and nobody else does is terrifying and traumatic as much as everybody who feared for their lives, right? So it doesn't matter whether you believed or didn't believe, the past 2.5 years have been traumatizing to your nervous system. We have been through a trauma. That doesn't mean you're all going to have PTSD, but it does have an impact. And so the natural consequences of having been through something like this is that you will be exhausted. And what we kind of expected would happen is that we would be released into the free, and we would be happy and, you know, like lammies dancing in the fields of flowers. And that's not our experience, right? We just got nothing left. We're running on farts in the gas tank. And that's disappointing also, right? It's very discouraging. People are disoriented. They don't understand what's happening. So if that's the situation, to acknowledge, like if you're feeling depleted or exhausted and you're thinking something's the matter with you, there really is nothing wrong with you. That this is exactly what is to be expected after having gone through something like that. And to be kind, I invite you to consider being kind and gentle with yourself and to kind of adjust your expectations around when you might feel better, that maybe it'll progressively, incrementally be better over time. And that maybe like a year and a half from now, you can look back and go, oh, I feel so much better now. Healing from trauma is a long process. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with you.
Nice. I love it. And absolutely. Yes.
To take it a little bit bigger.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with you. If you're having a hard time as an entrepreneur, if you're facing mental health or emotional challenges, it's because it's in the nature of the work. And like I said about the pandemic, it's what we would expect to happen given what you're going through. So I come back to what I said before. There's just really nothing wrong with you. What you're trying to do is tough. And of course it would be hard. And of course, you know, it has an impact. So maybe you can say to yourself, like, there's nothing wrong with me. This is, of course it's hard because what I'm trying to do is hard.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
Thanks, Michelle.
Awesome. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show, share with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.